Magnify your holy name. There is no one like you, Father. We lift up our voices and we exalt you and we praise you. There is no one that can be compared with you. There is no one like you in all the earth, in all the heavens. Lord, you are the only true God. You are the mighty God. Hallelujah. You reign in the affairs of men. You are the governor among the nations. Father God, we lift you up today. We magnify your holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed, and everybody said amen. Come on, shout a living amen. If you know you serve a living God, put your hands together and give him some praise. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you all so much for being a part of this service, those of you that are here with us in person. And if you are joining us online, thank you for being a part. And we pray that the presence of the Lord that is already in this house will continue to move and do great, amazing things amongst us in Jesus' mighty name. I want you to just, let's take our 2025 confession together. I want to get into the Word of God. I have a few things that I'd like to minister on today. Amen and amen. Amen. Glory to God. All right, that should be on the screen before you. So let's go. 2, 3, go. 2025 is my year of God's shalom, jubilee, uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts, and fresh oil. In 2025, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken. God's shalom is mine. All is well with me, spirit, soul, and body. The peace of God that passes all understanding is my inheritance. When I lie down, I have peace. When I rise up, I have peace. When I go out, I have peace. When I come in, I have peace. I dwell in a stronghold of security and prosperity. Every evil beast is displaced out of my dwelling places. I am not troubled, agitated, disturbed, intimidated, or unsettled. God's shalom is mine, and all is well with me, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. This is my jubilee, and I will thrive in 2025. All debts are canceled, and all lack is erased. My destiny will not be aborted. My fruits will not be miscarried. My potential will not be buried. My glory will not be stolen. This is my season of bountiful harvest, exponential promotions, unprecedented growth, and accelerated progress. I am full of the spirit of wisdom. I am in the right place at the right time with the right plans and the right pursuits. I am separated and elevated. I am lifted by the favor of God and carried by his grace. I am led. I am ahead. I am blessed. I am the head. I have rest on every side, and I reap the rewards of faithfulness. Faithful is he who began this work in me, and he will also finish it in grand style. I have the mind of Christ. I think the thoughts of God. I walk in God's due order, and this is my due season. I am anointed with fresh oil and replenished with the dew of heaven. There is no lack and no stress, no dryness and no tiredness, no weakness and no sickness. The Ruach of God is breathing on my mind. The same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead quickens my body and my bones. I am sharp as a tack, and my memory is blessed and renewed. I will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills break out with singing before me, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This is my season of uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts. By my hands, kingdoms are subdued, mountains are removed, promises are produced, and the enemies are confused. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I am valiant in battle, and I overcome by his mantle, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Who are you, O great mountain? And where are you, O great giant? I have the spirit of might. I am a vessel and pillar of valor. There is nothing I cannot do, and there is nothing that can undo me. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Finally, after all the uprisings of the adversary, the victory is won and the miracle is born. Hallelujah. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He will cover me with his feathers, and under his wings will I trust. I tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon. I am treading under my feet with long life. He satisfies me, and he is showing me his salvation. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they call thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Then shall the lame person leap as a deer, and the tongue of the dumb will sing. The eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Waters will break out in the wilderness, and streams will flow in the desert. 2025 is my year of God's shalom, jubilee, uncommon breakthroughs and breakouts, and fresh oil. In 2025, there will be nothing missing and nothing broken in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Please go ahead and be seated. Amen and amen. Say that one more time. In 2025, there will be nothing missing and there will be nothing broken. Hallelujah. Are you walking in the reality of that promise? Whatever is missing, Jesus of Nazareth, he has sufficient ability and power to supply it. Amen. Everywhere he went, he was doing good. Glory to God. Let's go back to Acts chapter 10. And let's, oh, I love it. Let's start from verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching shalom by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Verse 39, and we are witnesses of all these things, and all the things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in the land of Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Somebody say, in 2025, There will be nothing missing and nothing broken. And beyond 2025, in my life, in my family, in my experience, there will be nothing missing and there will be nothing broken. Amen. He said in verse 34, I perceive of a truth, God is no respecter of persons. So God is not a respecter of persons. God is a respecter of commitment, is a respecter of faith, and is a respecter of spirit. Say those words with me. God is not a respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of commitment, of faith, and of spirit. Amen. And you are set apart by God. You are predestinated by him for a glorious future. Amen. The blessing of nothing missing, nothing broken is your inheritance. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And the revelation of that word will sink as we continue to talk about it. Amen. The promise of nothing missing, nothing broken, that covenant of nothing missing, nothing broken, will become a reality and a relived experience in all of our lives. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 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 I'm going to come back in a minute to verse 34 and come back in a minute just to talk a little bit about that predestination again. And glory to God. Hallelujah. But let's go over this, if you were with us last week. If you want to enjoy that life, that promise of nothing missing, nothing broken, five things that must be in place in your life. Let's go over them. If you were with us during the last ELO, you already heard this, so it's not new to you. But let's just go over it again for emphasis. Number one, you must be led by the Holy Spirit and align with the will of God in every area of your life. Amen. Amen. Let's say it again. You must be led by the Holy Spirit and align with the will of God in every area of your life. If you are, then there will be nothing missing and nothing broken. If you are not led by the Holy Spirit and you are not aligned with the will of God in every area of your life, some things may become missing, even though that's not what God intended. And some things may be broken, even though that's not what God intended for you. Amen. You must be led by the Holy Spirit and aligned with the will of God in every area of your life. Number two, you must walk in God's due order in every area of your life. God's due order. Somebody say those words with me. God's due order. Say those words with me. God's due order. Come on, say those words one more time. God's due order. There is something called God's due order. I know that in our world of anything goes, and in our world of new development, technology, and freedom of everything, you know, people think God will accept anything. God will, and anything I do is okay with God. It's a lie. It's not true. God is a God of due order. I say God is a God of due order. I want to keep on reading, but let's just read this verse in 1 Chronicles 15, verse 13. If you put that up for me, please, in the Amplified, Emma, thank you. 1 Chronicles 15 and 13 in the Amplified version. Look at what it says there. It says, for because you bore it not as God directed at the first, the Lord our God broke forth upon us, because we did not seek him in the way he ordained. Can you look for the AMP, not the AMPC? Let's read the AMP and then let's read the King James. All in that verse 13. I want us to point this out to you. And I'm going to rush through a gamut of things in a minute. And I'll come back at some point in time to actually read these scriptures. But right now, I just want to throw it at you and move on to what I have in my spirit today. All right, look at this. It says, because you did not carry it as God directed. So God sometimes directs certain ways we do certain things, right? The things he wants us to do, there's a way he directs them. You did not carry it in the way that God directed the first time. The Lord our God made an angry outburst against us, for we did not seek him in accordance with the ordinance. Now look at that in the King James. That same verse in the King James. It says, for because you did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. There is a due order. There is a way that is acceptable to the Lord for the different things that he wants to do in our lives. Amen. I want to go through my list, and I don't want to get caught up preaching. But hallelujah. But he said, we suffered a breach. A breach. Breach means something broken. The word breach means something was broken. We suffered a breach. Something became broken that should not have been broken because we did not seek him after the due order. What point am I in? Point number two. Like I said, let me just throw a few things at you real quickly and then focus, go down through the rest of the list and then go back. I just have a few things I want to say before I close today. But let me throw this to you so you have food for thought and you can chew on it and you can meditate and you can study it and you can ask you one. But if you go back there to that Acts chapter 10 that we were reading, I want you to find that verse where after the Lord, actually let's read it from the beginning. After Cornelius saw the angel and he spoke to Cornelius and said, your alms, your generosity, your prayers have risen up before God as a great memorial. God remembers you. Then he said something interesting, which I just want to throw at you. And then I want to throw a few scriptures at you so you can chew on this for a while. I think it's verse 5. I have to look for that. Yeah, I think it is verse 5. Now, the angel is standing right before him. Let's look at this. Acts chapter 10 from verse 1, right? There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and he said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, your prayers and your alms, your generosity are come up for a memorial before God. Verse 5. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges, verse 6, with one Simon a tanner. Look at the specific instructions God is giving him. With one Simon a tanner. So you don't mistake Peter. The Peter I want you to call is a specific Peter. It's not just any bishop named Peter. It's not just any apostle named. There is one specific Peter that I have given an assignment to do something concerning you in this season, in this moment. I don't want you going to call another Peter. Because if you call another Peter, he does not have that assignment. I didn't give him. This particular Peter, the way you will recognize, is he is living in the house of another person called Simon a tanner. And this Simon the Tanner is a very wealthy man, obviously, no question, because he lives by the sea. The man has a house by the beach. Glory to God. This man has real estate by the beach. For those of you who think it is a sin to live by the beach. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The man has a mansion by the beach. Hallelujah. But even though he lived in a mansion by the beach, his life was in due order. The mansion by the beach didn't take over his life. He didn't live for the beach. He didn't live for the mansion. He lived for God. And there is a Peter, one of my choice servants, who is visiting with him. He's lodging. Look, he says he's lodging. That means, look, Simon the Tanner had a mansion by the beach. Simon called Peter is visiting with Simon the Tanner and he's lodging with him. It's not for a day. He's lodging there. That means Simon the Tanner has a big mansion that has a good lodge. Glory to God. I said glory to God. I know some of you close one of your eyes when you read some part of the Bible. You think, no, Lord, no. Nay, Lord, that cannot be in the Bible. It cannot be, No, it is there in the Bible. Simon the Tanner had a mansion by the beach and Simon Peter was lodging with him. Not just for a day or two. He was actually visiting and lodging. He had a lodge where the man was very comfortable. He had an area in Simon the Tanner's house. Oh, hallelujah. You can see I'm very excited. I'm just in love with the word of God. I'm just in love with the word of God. Hallelujah. And then he said to him, whose house is by the seaside, he will tell you what you ought to do. Amen. You know, every time I read that scripture, one question comes to my mind. The angel who is talking to Cornelius, he is standing right there. The angel who brought the message from God, he's standing right there. He is the one who is giving him this accurate description of where Simon Peter the Apostle is lodging by the beach. Why can this angel not tell him directly what God wants him to know? Why does he have to send for one Simon Peter? Why? Why do we need Simon Peter? The angel from God's presence is right here. Why? This Cornelius saw a vision. He's talking to the angel mouth to mouth, face to face. Why can that angel not tell him? Why does he have to send for Simon, who is lodging in the house of Simon the Tanner by the beach? Because God is a God of due order. These are the things I wanted to throw. I just wanted to throw these at you before I move on. You know, after Jesus' ministry was introduced to the world, when Jesus came, first of all, who baptized Jesus? How many people remember what happened during that baptism? Well, before that, you remember Jesus came to him. He said, you know, he's going to be baptizing him. John said, no, you are the one, you are greater. You are. And then what did Jesus say? Let's do this to fulfill all righteousness. And when they were doing it to fulfill all righteousness, then the heaven opened. And what happened? A dove came. And the dove announced to the world, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. That means everything God does in your life, God wants to create another way, another avenue
to put an endorsement or his approval on what he is doing. That the whole world can see, people can see, other people can see. It is God doing it. It is not just you saying it. The only person in the New Testament who had this experience where God sent him and the Lord himself was the one who attested to, who endorsed it, who approved of him and his ministry. The only person who ever had this experience was Jesus. Down the line, every other person. How many people remember Saul of Tarsus? He met Jesus on the way to Damascus. You remember this? And then he became blind. And then what happened? And then the Lord told him, get up. And told him to go into one place. Right? And then what happened after that? God then went and called somebody. What was his name? Ananias. And told him to go and pray for him and to open his eyes. He met Jesus directly. He fell down. He became blind. Why didn't Jesus open his eyes? Why didn't Jesus himself open his eyes? Jesus was right there. He was having a conversation with the Lord. But the Lord said, go to this house. And then he sent Ananias. What does that remind you? It reminds you of Cornelius. Yeah. Send for Peter. Why? Why send for Peter? Why not just tell him here? You came with a message. You are the messenger of God from heaven. Why not just tell him here? Why? Because he is a God of due order. And then you remember in Acts chapter 8, when a revival broke out, and it was a man called Philip. He went to Samaria, and God was using him in great ways to preach and minister to so many people. And while all of that was going on, they had to send for the apostles from Jerusalem to come. It was when those apostles came that they became baptized with the Holy Spirit, all the people. They couldn't be baptized with the Holy Spirit until those apostles came. Why? Is the revival going on? There's power of God, there's ministry, there's glory, there's everything. Why is it God needed sometimes to get human beings to endorse his work? Why do we do ordination? Why can't people just get up and say, from today I'm a bishop. From now call me prophet. I mean, they do it. All over the world they are doing it. From today, I have a ministry. Don't worry about it. How? Since when? No, I have a ministry. Just go on TikTok. You see my channel right there. Oh, what channel? What media? My channel is right. Did you check my media channel? It's right there. I'm a prophet. And then they wear the garb. And God is not there. God is not there. Because there is no due order. You cannot send yourself. It takes God to send you. And when God sends you, he has to use a man. Amen. A man has to endorse. Hallelujah. Amen. You can chew on this for the next few weeks. Glory to God. Amen. I say you can chew on this for the next few weeks. Amen. How many people remember that mountain of transfiguration? What happened in that mountain of transfiguration? Jesus took his disciples with him, and then right there, his garment is changed, and then two people visited them from heaven. What were their names? Moses and Elijah, right? Why? And then God said it again, this is my beloved son. What's he doing? He's endorsing. He's approving. But he's using people. He used John the Baptist once, then he used Elijah and he used Moses. Amen? Why is he doing it? See, you see, there's a lot of error in a lot of what's going on in the lives of a lot of believers around the church today. Just because we live in a modern world, people just think, well, yeah, I can do whatever I want to do. It's a free world, right? I don't need no one. I'm an anointed vessel. I'm just as anointed as everybody else. Right? And they've never really paid any price. They've never understudied. They've never been accountable to any minister of the gospel. They've never sat under anyone. They've never been held. They've never been directed, instructed. Their feelings have never been hurt. If your feelings have never been hurt, you are not ready for the ministry. It's like parents and children, right? If your feelings have never been hurt, you don't have a parent in your life. If the kind of relationship that exists between parents and children is one of always fun, happy, we're just happy all the time. They are not parents. Find yourself another parent. Because anyone who is sent into your life to help you become what God ordained your life to be, they will challenge you. They will squeeze you. They will make you uncomfortable. They will make you uncomfortable. They will. Hallelujah. Yeah. If you don't have anyone in your life who is making you uncomfortable, who is pushing you out of your comfort zone and challenging you to be different and to be better and to rise up and to go higher and to do things differently from the way you would like to do it all the time, my friend, you don't have a parent in your life. You don't have God's endorsement. You don't have God's approval. Because God, but why does he do it? He does it, one, because he loves us. He does it because he wants to take us higher. He does it because he wants us to find the way that he has made so we can get high. We can go as far as he has ordained for us. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Why are so many people languishing? Why are so many people wasting? Without a sense of direction. There is no order in their lives. There's no one pulling them. There's no one pulling them and challenging them and saying, you are coming up. Let's go up. Let's go up. You have been at this level for too long. If you do that, if you did it, say it's child abuse. What kind of child abuse is that? What's a child abuse is that? It's a huge child abuse. No, we are going up. Come on, we're going up. Come on, we're going up. Somebody who tells you, come on, tuck in your shirt. Somebody tells you, come on, tie your lace, tie your shoe. Somebody says, did you brush your teeth before going to bed last? Make your bed. Somebody who tells you that to help you live a better life so that you don't end up in the dungeon. Yes. It's called God's due order. Amen. God's due order. Amen. He respects it. Yeah. The only time God will ever bypass a parent to talk to a child directly is that the parents are wayward and they are not listening to God. It's God's doer. He says, send for Peter. He leaves his lodging with Simon the Tanner by the beach. Ooh, glory to God. I'm loving it. Why am I the only person who enjoyed this message? Why am I the only one having fun in the word of God? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Is it that the anointing here is just so heavy? Is that, are you people not feeling this thing? Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's go back to our points. Number one, what number was I on? Number one was be led by the Holy Spirit, align with the will of God in every area of your life. Number two, walk in God's due order in every area of your life. Be whole and in order, spirit, soul, and body in that order. Amen. Be whole and in order, spirit, soul, and body in that order. Number three, take on the high priestly ministry and anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ and immerse yourself in his covenant with you. Take on the high priestly ministry and anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ and immerse yourself in his covenant with you. Number four, take on the anointing and mantle of the human priest to whom you are connected by God. Let's read that again. Number four, take on the anointing and mantle of the human priest to whom you are connected by God. Number five, be in unity in your home and in your fellowship, in your Christian community. Be in unity in your home. Be in unity. Let there be agreement. Let there be oneness. Wherever there is no oneness, Satan finds a way to break the door. He comes in and he wreaks havoc. Wherever there is no unity, wherever the shalom of God is not abiding in a Christian community, in a family, Satan comes in. He comes in through the window. He comes in through basement. He comes in through the roof sometimes. Hallelujah. To steal, kill, and destroy. If there is no unity, something will be missing and something will be broken. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Let's do this one more time. Real quick. 1 to 5. Right? I'm not even teaching on these ones today. At some point, I'm going to start taking each of them and talking to you directly, specifically, on each of those things. Number one, let's go through this again. Number five, the 5 points. If you want to enjoy a life of nothing missing, nothing broken, beyond 2025, number one, be led by the Holy Spirit and align with the will of God in every area of your life. Number two, walk in God's due order in every area of your life. Be whole and in order, spirit, soul, and body in that order. Number three, take on the high priestly ministry and anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ and immerse yourself in his covenant with you. Number four, take on the anointing and mantle of the human priest to whom you are connected by God. Number five, be in unity in your home and in your Christian community and fellowship. Commit to oneness in your family and God's family. Let's go right, real quick before my time is gone today. Go back there to Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Peter said, hallelujah. Peter said, then Peter opened his mouth and he said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. Verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus Christ is in the room. Hallelujah. Amen. He is in the room today. He's going about doing good,
What is Jesus doing? Hallelujah. He's doing good. What is Jesus doing? He's doing good. Hallelujah. Jesus is mending the broken heart. Jesus is healing the sick. Jesus is finding the lost. Jesus is bringing prosperity to the broke and to the poor. Jesus is doing good. Jesus is supplying what is missing. He's healing what is broken. Jesus is doing good. Jesus is doing good. He didn't just do good 2,000 years ago. Jesus is still doing good today. If you find him, if you know him, if you walk with him, he will do you good. Your life will be good. Your experience will be good. Your destiny will be good. Every aspect of your life will be good. Your health will be good. Your finances will be good. Your business will be good. Your career will be good. Your marriage will be good. Your family will be good. Jesus is still doing good. He's still doing good. Supplying what is missing. Healing what is broken. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Peter said, God is no respecter of persons. What is God a respecter of? Commitment, faith, and spirit. He said, in every nation, he that fears God and works righteousness is accepted with him. You are not blessed because of your race. You are blessed because of his grace. In every nation, he that fears God and works righteousness is accepted with. I want you to think of every nation you can think of right now. Every nation you can think of, from North America to South America to Europe to Asia to Australia to Africa, to all the different continents of the world, the different corners of the world, in every nation, God is no respecter of persons. That's why in every nation, there are people who enjoy shalom. In every nation, there are people who enjoy the peace of God in every nation, regardless of what that nation is like. There are people who enjoy the shalom of God. They are happy. They are truly happy. They are content. They are blessed. In every nation. In every nation of the world. It's not only in America where people are happy. In fact, I don't know. They call some of these people experts. I don't know how experts they are. But, so you know, every year they come up with a list of the happiest nations on earth. America is usually at the very close somewhere. So many times people have money, but they are not happy. They have health insurance, but they are not happy. They have job, but they are not happy. There's always fighting. We're always fighting. Fight. Let's fight. Let's just fight. Why are you always fighting? Happy people don't fight. Why can you not just have peace? Just have joy. Why are you always fighting? You don't have to. Why do we fight one another? Families come together for Thanksgiving. They cannot be happy together. There's a big talk in the middle of the table. Big, big talk. That is bigger than anyone you will ever find in the darkest corners of Africa. Big talk. But they are fighting. They are always. Why? Why? And some of the nations that I called, there was one year, it was one African nation, they said was the happiest. Yeah, you say, yeah, I think it was. Say, ah, that place where people don't have food to eat, they are happy. What are they happy about? See, because happiness is not a factor. Money is good. We need money. But I tell you, you have to understand this. That's why the Bible says, what's that scripture in Timothy? Something with godliness, with contentment. If somebody has never bought a $50 pair of shoes and
In fact, all their lives, they have always had people passing them down shoes, slippers, hand-me-down and things. They've never. And then one day, they get $1, and they buy a pair of shoes themselves, for themselves. Do you know how much happiness they will have? Meanwhile, in another part of the world, somebody thinks, unless you buy a pair of shoes for $2,000, you cannot be happy. When they walk in their groups and they compare themselves, you know, what are all these TV programs now? The whatever housewives of this. And they start comparing the designer bags, right? You know what I'm talking about? It's like, if you can buy, what is this, Armani? If you can buy this bag, this same bag that we saw on the street of New York, on the ground, they were begging us for $50. Somebody will pay $5,000. He says it's imitation. It's not imitation. It's not imitation. Look, happiness is a function of what you decide in your mind. Is what you. If I'm happy living in a shack, if I'm happy there in that shack, my friends, I'm happy. If in my shack, I'm happy. I'm happy. Somebody in a mansion. Have you heard? The royal family. Do you know how many mansions they control? The stories that keep coming out. This one is always fighting that one. There are two brothers who were like twins growing up, raised by their mother. They don't talk today. They don't talk. They don't talk. In the royal family, they are not hungry. They are not poor. Anything they need, they just snap their finger. Just like that. They don't even have to get up to do it. There is a butler who is always waiting. Huh? Your wish is my command. Right? Even before you come out of your majority, you just say, well, before you even call water, there's already a gallon of water is right there. But two brothers don't talk. Is it because of money? No. One is rich in Montecito. Is that what it's called? Is that? Whatever it's called. And the other one is right there in Buckingham Palace. They have everything they need. Everything they will ever dream of, they have it. But they are not happy. They are not happy. God is no respecter of persons. He is a respecter of commitment, faith, and spirit. No matter what it is, that people call, some people say, until I, you know, some of you married people, until we buy that furniture. That furniture, I saw it in the catalog. Every day is war. Every day is war. Right? Say, honey, why are you not happy today? Is that furniture? I saw it in that catalog. We have to buy that furniture. But what about this one? No, this one, we have had this one for like 16 months. That one I saw in the car, I love it. Okay, let's plan towards it. And every day, you just see honey looking very sad. Honey, what is happening? Is the catalog, the furniture you have to get. When they are around the dining table, honey, It looks like some of you have experienced this thing. because it looks like you have first-hand experience. Honey. What is going on? Look at the big food before us. That catalog is the furniture in that catalog. Okay. You go steal money, you borrow some, you steal some, you do everything. Then you buy the furniture. You buy the furniture, and this furniture is now there. But after 2 weeks, at the dining table, honey, what's happening? Now it's shoes. Now it's shoes. It's no longer furniture. It's shoes. That's why the Bible says godliness with contentment. This is at different levels. Somebody in the shack can be happy. Somebody in the beach, living by the beach side, can also be at their level. It is at their level. One is not better than the other because of where they live. At their level, everybody can be happy. Amen. In every nation, everyone who fears God and works righteousness is accepted with him. God is not a respecter of persons. He is a respecter of commitment, faith, and spirit. You are predestinated to be blessed. What does it mean to be predestinated? We have talked about this already. What does it mean to be predestinated? It means God has laid out a life, a good life for you, but he has created a path through which you must go. And your own experience can be different from the experience of others around you because you chose to go in that path. Put up for me real quickly the prayer of Jabez. Let's read that real quickly. I want to close out here on these scriptures on predestination before my time is gone here. Hallelujah. Amen. I said hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, we have a lot of fun laughing with this, some of this stuff that we're talking about. But I hope you can see the deep principles of the word of God in those things. Right? He's no respecter of persons. You can be happy at your level. Amen. Amen. You don't have to have somebody else's life to be happy. You can be happy with your life. If your life is in God's due order. Now, if you are at the bottom, living in the basement, when you can be living in the attic, you should not be happy. You should truly be very, very sad. If the reason you are in that basement is because you have refused to be challenged and you have refused to stretch, you have the potential but you will not stretch, then you should be very sad. Because the people who are living in that attic, they don't have two heads. The people who are passing the exams, they don't have two heads. The people who are the influencers in the world who are rising up and they are gaining access to the positions where they can influence what's going on in the world, they don't have two heads. If you have the potential but you bury your potential, there's a line in our confession, my potential will not be buried. My glory will not be stolen. If your glory is stolen, you should be unhappy. If your potential is buried, you should be unhappy. Because why would you waste God's investment? There are so many people that will never have the opportunities that you have, but now you have those opportunities. Why would you not take advantage? So that you can be a blessing to somebody else's life. Why would you be stuck in the basement when you can go all the way up to the attic? I love the story. Put up that prayer of Jabez for me. I love it. Let's read it in the King James. King James is good. It's very rich and powerful. I love it. And Jabez called on the God of Israel. Oh, you know what? Let's back. Because I love it. Back up to verse 9. Let's read verse 9 first. I want to show you this. Jabez, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. Stop. Why? Why? Is it because God was partial to Jabez? Is it because God just saw Jabez and said, wow, I love you, Jabez. I love you more than all your brethren. I'm going to do some things in your life that all the people in your family will never experience. Is that what happened? No, that's not what happened. That's not what happened. Jabez was more honored. That means he was elevated. He was more honorable than his brethren. That means he lived a good, a high quality of life. And his mother had called him, he's telling us about his origin. His mother had called him Jabez, sorrow, because he was born in sorrow. And there is nothing at all documented about his father at all. He had one of the worst beginnings that any human could have ever had. If anybody had a reason to stay in the basement, it was Jabez. If anybody had a reason to not want to do more, to not want to go higher, to not want to strive in life, it was Jabez. He did not have the opportunities that most other people had. But in verse 10, the Bible says, and Jabez called on the God of Israel. Even though my beginning was small, yet my latter end shall greatly increase. Even though I had a rough start, even though I didn't have the opportunity everybody else had, even though my father wasn't there, my mother wasn't there, I didn't have all the necessary supplies, I didn't go to the good schools, I didn't have this, no connection, no this, no that, but I know a God of Israel. And the Bible says this God is no respecter of persons. The same God who answers the prayer of the king is the same God who answers the prayer of the pauper. Hallelujah. He called on the God of Israel. And look at his prayer. Oh. Look at his prayer. I love the prayer of Jabez. I'm sure you do too. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God, oh God, that you will bless me. Oh God, that you will bless me indeed. Oh God, make a difference in my life. God, make a change. Make a change. Let my story be different. Oh God, oh, that you will bless me indeed. That you will enlarge my course. Lord, I don't want just a small piece. I don't want just a tiny just for me and my little family. No, God, I want to affect the world. God, I want to change somebody's life. Use me. Use little me to make a difference in somebody's, enlarge my coast. Enlarge my course. Let the anointing of your Holy Spirit rest upon me. Let the anointing, let your hand be with me. Let the anointing of the Holy Spirit rest upon me. Let the anointing of the Holy Spirit rest upon me. And keep me from evil. Keep me from evil that it may not stop me. Keep me from the traps that the adversary sets on my path, that I will not fall into them. Amen. Keep me from evil. Keep me from evil, that it will not stop me, that it will not limit my potential. When I can be a giant, I don't end up being a midget because evil stopped me, because evil derailed my destiny, because evil undid what could have been done by the power of God in my life. Keep me from evil.
so that I can rise as high as you destined my life to rise. Glory to God. Listen, do you know where Jabez started from? Jabez started from nothing. It was so bad. His mother named him Sorrow. His mother named him Sorrow. Every time she saw him, she said, "That's sorrow." Every time she saw him, she said, "That's sorrow." But Jabez said, "I am not settling for sorrow. I'm going higher to a place. I want a life of nothing missing, nothing broken. I want a life of unprecedented success. I want a life of glory. I want a life that is elevated. I want a life not just of potential, but of fulfillment. I want a life, hallelujah, that is not limited by the things that life throws me. I want a life that goes beyond. Glory be to God." You know the most beautiful thing about this scripture? The most beautiful thing about this scripture, God didn't say to Jabez, why are you so impatient? Why are you so ambitious? Why are you not satisfied with little? The Bible says, and God answered him, and God granted him that which he requested. God said, "Jabez, you want me to bless you indeed? Be blessed indeed. Jabez, you want me to enlarge your coast. Jabez, you want my anointing upon your life? Be anointed. Jabez, you want me to keep you from evil? I'm keeping you from evil. No evil will derail your destiny." The Bible says God answered him. Why? Because he's not a respecter of persons. He's a respecter of commitment, faith, and spirit. The life of nothing missing and nothing broken is available to everyone in every nation. I don't care what nation you are in. You are not behind because of your nation. You are not behind because of your nation. I don't care what your family beginning was like. That does not matter. I don't care if you live in Lodibar. That does not matter. God wants to give you a life of nothing missing, nothing broken. That is your portion. 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 Stand to your feet. That's your portion. A life of nothing missing, nothing broken. That's your portion. An elevated life. That's your portion. A life of glory. Not a life of shame. A life of unprecedented success. A life that causes people to go, People are astonished because of what God did in your life. Because they know your story. They know where you started from. They know your beginning was in the basement. But when they came back to check, they go, A life of nothing missing, nothing broken. Amen. A life of unprecedented success. Amen. A life of glory. That's what you are predestined. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That's what you are predestinated for. I can't close. Keep standing. We've got to read this scripture. It came to me in the night. It wasn't in my notes. It came to me in the night. It was not. I've always known it, but I just didn't remember it. And in my notes, just didn't have it. But the Lord pulled it and said, "Read this scripture. Read it to my people." Thank you, Holy. See, even in my preaching today, I didn't remember it. I'm about to close. The Lord said, "You got to read it. Go right there to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We're going to read from verse 28. You are predestinated, my friends. You are predestinated for a life of glory. Let's read it. We're going to read and close. This is my close. This is my last close. It's my last scripture. It's my last close. Hallelujah. Romans 8:28. And we know. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, and to them that are the called according to his purpose. Once you find God's purpose and you are aligned with the will of God in every area of your life, all things must work together for your good. All things. This is the one the Lord put in my spirit in the middle of the night. Verse 29, I can read it out to you right here, even without looking at it. Because he came so strong, for whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of God. Hallelujah. That he might be the firstborn amongst. And who he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. You see, you are predestinated. Amen. For a life of glory. Amen. First of all, you were foreknown of God. Yes. Then you were predestinated of God. Yes. Then you were called of God. Then you were justified by God. Then you will be glorified. But he didn't stop there. He said, then what can we say? Let's go on, move. We want to that next verse then. What shall we say? My friends, what can we say to all these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God is for you, who can stop you? If God is with you, who can resist you? If God elevates you, who can demote you? He who did not spare his own son, verse 32, let's read that. He who spared not his own son, but he delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? As I close today, let me follow the voice of the Holy Spirit. What is missing? Just look in your experience right now. What is missing? What is missing in your life right now? What's missing? What's broken? In your experience, what is broken right now? What is missing? And what is broken? Because Jesus of Nazareth is walking in the room to supply anything missing and to mend anything broken. And all I want you to do with me, whether you are here in this room or you are listening to this message afterwards or you are online right now, what I want you to do with me is I want you to stretch in your faith like Jabez stretched. He looked in his life and so many things were missing and so many things were broken. And he said, oh God of Israel, you are no respecter of persons. Stretch out your hands and supply what is missing. Reach out your hands and mend what is broken. And the Bible says God granted him that which he asked. The Lord is supplying anything missing today. He's mending anything broken.
Does it feel too hard? Does it sound like that's too hard? Yes, it may be too hard for a man, but nothing is too hard. Nothing is too difficult for God. Nothing. Nothing. There is nothing he cannot do. There is nothing the power of our God cannot do. Does it seem so distant? So far away? Does it seem like a dream, a pipe dream? Yes, to a man maybe it feels like a pipe dream. But with our God, it's nothing too difficult for him. Father, I thank you so much for your word today. Lord, we give you praise. We receive all that you prepared for us in this service. And everything that has been delivered to us through the avenue of your word, we lay hold on right now. We lay hold on right now. We lay hold on right now. We reach out in our faith for that promise of nothing missing, nothing broken. That's our covenant inheritance. Like Jabez, we reach out in faith for it right now. We're not satisfied with what is missing. We're not satisfied with what is broken. We reach out and we thank you. Because you are a faithful God who is not a respecter of persons. You are a respecter of commitment, faith, and spirit. We give you praise today, Lord. We bless and we magnify your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.